Hello, fam, and welcome back to the Music Buzz Podcast, the podcast where we talk about music, pop culture, and current events while we get buzzed. I'm your host, Lauren Bremley.
And I'm Justine Avila. So it's been a minute, guys, and we're happy to be back. The hiatus, if you will, was for some personal reasons on my side. I had a family emergency that took me away, and Lo carried the torch, so you got to hear from her, I think, in April. And then we just went quiet. And
yeah. We had some more important things to deal with for a couple months there, but
And yeah, it was good, and it's healing to be back. So I'm happy we're back, and I'm happy we're chatting again.
I'm happy you're back, Jay.
Despite the hiatus, doesn't mean I wasn't cruising on what's happening in the industry. And obviously, we both still kind of have to work because we have bills. So we're always listening and watching music news. And a lot has been happening.
Yeah, we have a lot to catch up on now, which is kind of fun. Like, there's so much that we haven't really discussed.
Totally.
It's been a busy summer. Everyone's been wilding out.
It's been wilding out, but in a very weird way. It's almost like a renaissance, if you will. And I will talk about that later.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about that. So do you want to tell everyone what we're buzzing on today?
Yeah, so today it's like a wine and pizza kind of evening. So we've been buzzing on some Savvy B. I know for
as the kids call it.
As the kids call it. It is Oyster Bay, probably available for $5 in your local grocery store. So we are high class ladies. Get yourself a bottle. Make sure it's really cold. It's from New Zealand.
So international.
Yeah, I love that for us. The Kiwis make some great wine. So get yourself a bottle of it.
I was going to say the girlies down under, but also is that... Like, that's not down under, right? Is that Australia?
No, that's Australia. Literally, New Zealanders are Kiwis.
Kiwis. That's so cute.
Yeah, I love that. I want to be
a Kiwi.
I want to be a Kiwi, too. So, yeah. Get yourself some of that and follow along.
Ooh, cheers.
Cheers.
So, today we are coming at you with the music news we've missed while we've been away and kind of just what's going on right now in the music space. Jay, what's like number one on the list?
Well, I feel like it's dominated the news in the past like 3 days, so I would be remiss if we started with something else. But that is the Bruce Springsteen tickets. Have you seen this? Have you been following along?
I will admit, until you mentioned this story, I had like seen some headlines, but I didn't really dig into it because anytime I see Ticketmaster in a headline, my brain just shuts off. I simply can't handle any more bad Ticketmaster news.
Right. And they've been in the news, I think, for the past 10 plus years. I mean, they've been investigated by the DOJ. And by the way, when we say Ticketmaster, Live Nation owns Ticketmaster. Right. So it is Live Nation Ticketmaster. And they've been in the news, I think, for, you know, their monopolistic practices. And if you have purchased concert tickets, you know recently what that process looks like, and it's not very fun. And most recently, the biggest uproar has been with Bruce Springsteen. And I didn't know this either, Lo, until I started like reading everything, and there were articles, you know, in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera. But he hasn't actually toured since 2016. So he did the Bruce Springsteen kind of show on Broadway, which had super expensive tickets. But that's kind of the norm now because those Broadway theaters are so small. So people are used to paying $300 and $400 tickets. So Bruce announces his tour. It goes on sale. It's the first time since 2016. And nosebleed tickets are going for $5,000. And the actual listing on the website is like, nosebleeds for $60, and then I don't know. I mean, people pay $5,000 to $10,000, I think, for the front row. So that's not outrageous. But if you don't have a like strong budget, then you're just trying to go see him for all you can afford, which is $60. And that also is not including fees.
Right.
So you know, you probably walk out paying $100. But this caused like a massive uproar. And his team and his management team said, we are using dynamic ticketing because I think previously...
Which is a new Ticketmaster thing, right?
Well, kind of, but Taylor Swift has also used it. Like when she was in stadiums for the Reputation tour, right? That was Reputation.
Yeah.
She used dynamic ticketing, but it, because of the quantity, it wasn't so crazy because the stadium capacities are so big that yes, it fluctuated up and down, but you could still get a decently priced nosebleed ticket. But again, she's playing to like 50,000 people at one time.
How I understand that this works is that the artist can choose a threshold for these ticket prices. So they could say tickets could go up to X amount, but it will vary within that window based on the demand for tickets.
Correct. It's almost like the stock market. Like yeah. It's a supply and demand type of ticketing, and that's throughout the venue. I mean, there, and we can get in the nuance of it because some people thought it was platinum ticketing, where that's where you take a chunk of tickets, like 80%, usually people do 10% or 20% of the available tickets, and those are dynamically priced up and down with the caps that you're talking about. I understood it that the entire capacity for the show was dynamically priced. And because Bruce Springsteen, I think there were a couple factors. He hadn't been on tour in what? That's 6 years. He also has never done dynamic ticketing. So the cost to go to a Bruce Springsteen show, if you could get the ticket, was not very expensive. But the argument there is because he wasn't pricing it at what the market was willing to pay, all of that margin income was going to scalpers.
Right.
And now it's going to him.
To the artist, yeah.
Correct.
But like, I completely understand that. And I feel like Ticketmaster has done a lot of things to try to make the process, it sounds so eye-rolly to say, but they've tried to make it more fair. And basically their end goal is to make sure that the tickets are going to the fans as much as possible and trying to eliminate scalpers. And by doing that, they're doing the verified fan presale where if you're a fan of this artist, you're getting their newsletter, then you get to sign up for presale and get a chance to buy tickets. And then this dynamic pricing thing. But it's like at the end of the day, the artist has always been doing fine. It's the fans that suffer from the scalpers and from this dynamic ticket pricing. So like, how are we not making this a better experience for the fans who are the ones shelling out mega dollars to come see these people?
Right. And at that point, right, it becomes a capacity thing because say, and I'm using this as an example, but say he was playing Bridgestone in Nashville. Yes, I'm sure those tickets went, you know, for thousands of dollars in the nosebleeds, but he was only announced one show. Imagine if he announced like five shows. I'm sure that those ticket prices would actually come down because you have the capacity to now handle all of that demand. So, you know, demand is not quite as high because you can accommodate it. And again, I think the whole point is not that the fans are getting screwed because they are in terms of monetary value, but where that money's going. So the artist and their team would rather capture that than it go to a third party.
Yeah, which I get in a way, but it sucks for the fans and it sets such a like bad precedent for the future. But I did also see, I was reading some article where Springsteen's manager was like kind of defending themselves for this whole thing. And they were like, you're coming to see one of the most legendary artists. Like people who go see, you know, Paul McCartney and whoever else like are paying big dollars to see them and would pay big dollars to see them. So, you know, if we're like fighting off scalpers by doing this and some people have to pay more, they're the fans that will do it.
Right. And I mean, that's where I think my argument for like a shock value comes in because Bruce Springsteen hadn't done this before. But you know, if you're paying to go see the Rolling Stones or the Eagles, you're going to pay out the wazoo. And I mean, I guess this is another point. I feel like in the marketplace, it's coming to the point where you have to make a certain like amount of income or have a certain number of discretionary income to go to shows.
That's
like you,
so sad, though.
Oh,
that's not the purpose of live music, you know?
Right. And I think some people argue that it's a commodity, and I don't know that it necessarily is. Maybe the consumption part is where you're listening to it. But, I mean, going to see it, too, shouldn't be this luxury that's astronomical.
No. And it's always been like a pricey endeavor to go see your favorite artist, especially at the arena level and whatever else. But like, you're traveling all across the U.S. and in some cases with some artists, especially in spring scenes, like across the world to go to your town to come see you, the fans. And it's like, oh, but only the elite can come because only the elite can afford it. That's just so lame.
Yeah. And Lo, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you in terms of being a pricey thing. And maybe this shows my age. But like in high school, I went to a bunch of concerts. And still, I mean, still do. It's different now. But I didn't have a lot of money in high school. And I knew I'd be able to go get a lawn ticket for $30.
Lawn ticket, sure. But not at an arena. At an arena, that was like a whole big thing. And even if tickets were $60 then, $60 when we were in high school was a lot more than $60 now.
Totally. But my point with that is I don't even think lawn tickets now are affordable. Like, it's becoming so much of a luxury cost that I don't understand how people pay to go to multiple shows. And I think like now they're being squeezed in the marketplace because you have to pick. Like, again, showing my age, but in high school, if you were willing to sit in the cheap seats, like in the lawn or whatever show it may be, I mean, even the free ones like downtown, there would be the like back section where you could pay $5.
Yeah.
And like go see bands and stuff. And it's, I don't think that that's the case. Like I was looking at Ascend the other day, just at lawn seats for a few different shows. And I think the average was like $50, and that's before fees.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
And it's honestly dumb because if you capture a bunch of fans who are able to pay $20 for a ticket, guess what they're going to buy while they're at the show? They're going to buy some t-shirts and they're going to buy some records and they're going to buy some swag. And whose pocket does that money go in? The artists. So it's just so silly to me. And it makes me respect artists like Garth Brooks so much, even more, for doing the whole like $25 tickets for every seat in the arena or wherever, whatever it is that he does.
It's like, $80. Yeah. It's 80. Still. But I mean, for Garth Brooks, you can be front row for 80. You can be nosebleeds, but it's, you know what the price is.
Yeah. And I respect that because it makes it more accessible for the people who are trying to come support you, you know? And I'm sorry, if I have to choose, like we're lucky, like we get to go to a lot of pretty low ticket price shows and we get to go to a lot of shows for free because like the worlds that we're in. But like if I was budgeting my dollars between having to go see the artists that I genuinely can afford to see, I would be like, sorry, most of y'all are getting the cut and I'm not giving you any dollars because I would rather spend cash to go see, you know, my top tiers.
Right.
Instead of coming to see you for an unbelievable ticket price.
100%.
Sorry.
100%. And it's, I don't know, it's a weird kind of time, I think, for concert tickets.
Yeah. Also, I will just go ahead and throw in this little anecdote because I recently bought tickets to Harry Styles in New York.
Okay.
And I was kind of shocked at the whole process because I was assuming there was no, I did the verified fan presale. And I was like, there is simply no way I'm getting tickets to this show with how many people are trying to buy tickets. There's no way. And like with this tour that Harry is doing, he's only playing in a couple cities. Like it's only Toronto, New York, Chicago, and like two places more, I think.
And he's, LA.
Yeah, LA. And he's playing like several nights in those cities. But either way, if you're trying to go see him for most people, you're having to travel somewhere. And so I was like, because everyone's going to be traveling in from who knows where to see this show, I'm not getting tickets. There's just no way, but I'm going to try. And I somehow scored tickets. When I first got in to the queue to get tickets, like tickets were normal prices. And I got a pair of tickets that were like high up in the nosebleeds at MSG in New York. And I was like, I'm going to like risk it and try again for like a better pair of seats. I might not get them. I might end up with nothing, but it's better than paying this price for like, the nosebleeds, the tickets that I first got were like $180 each for nosebleeds, which for Harry, not as bad as I kind of was expecting. And when I refreshed, everything went up astronomically because I'm pretty sure they also did the dynamic pricing situation. And I just somehow hit a stroke of luck because I ended up getting tickets in the 100 level at MSG for $240 each.
That is crazy. But also the fact that you're happy about a $240 ticket is also crazy.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd.
But you feel like you got a deal.
Only because I would assume for 100 level tickets, which is like the lower bowl, especially in a venue as big as MSG, I assumed it would probably be 300. Because several years ago, you and I went to go see John Mayer at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. And we were in the, I think we were in the upper bowl, actually. We paid $150 for the back of the room. Center, like right behind, like sound, like straight back from the soundboard, so it was like a great place to be, but like pretty far away from the stage for $150 each.
Yeah,
so being much closer to the stage at a much bigger show, I was like, no way.
So just to update you in real time on your tickets, so in the 100 levels, he is doing platinum ticketing, and one ticket in section 118, one ticket, $950 plus fees.
Should I sell my tickets?
I mean, girl, you could make money. So
I wouldn't do that, but it's tempting when you see that you could sell them for $1,000 each, but then I'd be the person that I hate. You know what I mean? And like, I'm dying to see Harry, but the principle is that ticket could go for $1,000.
Correct. So, and he did, I mean, platinum ticketing is dynamic ticketing because it's set at a cap. But again, looking at the 200 level, those one ticket in the 200 level is $400.
Yeah. I don't know how I scored what I scored, but I'm thankful.
You didn't get a platinum ticket. You got a regularly priced ticket. Right. And somehow you got it. That's awesome.
The Lord has blessed me.
That's awesome.
So in some other news, I don't know if you've heard about this, but the Chainsmokers are set to be the first artist to perform in space.
I don't know where I've been. Well, I do know. I've been dealing with family stuff, but
yeah, fairly enough.
When, how? I have so many questions.
Yeah. So glad you asked. allegedly, this is happening in 2024. So they're announcing this hella early, but they're going up on the like debut flight or whatever it is with this space tourism company called, what is it called? Worldview. And so they like released all these headlines like the Chainsmokers are performing in space. This is amazing. And they're the first ones. I was reading more about it. And let me just tell you, they're going up in a pressurized capsule attached to a balloon that's 20 miles high. That's not space.
Wait, 20 miles?
Yeah, like, that's... I know that that's high, but, like, that's not space, right?
Yeah, I would need to look at probably, like, a map to see where in the atmosphere, like, are they in the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Like, did they break the barrier?
I just feel like it's such a misleading...
Yeah.
News item.
This sounds like they're going up in a hot air balloon and they're going to like click play.
Literally.
And do a voiceover on a track and be like, oh, we're the first ones to perform in space.
No, like I was imagining the Chainsmokers in the space station from Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
100%.
And you're telling me they're going up in a hot air balloon? That is not space. But I was reading this article from Consequence and I was cackling, and I have to read this to you because it's just,
I'm sure they were so snarky.
So the writer is Ren Graves, and he said, sound waves can't travel through the vacuum of outer space, which makes it the perfect place to host a concert by the Chainsmokers.
What an opening line.
Yeah. The aggressively inoffensive pop duo is set to become the first band to perform at the edge of the stratosphere, though as the Associated Press reports, they are unfortunately expected to return safely to Earth.
Wow.
This concert, which any nearby aliens may interpret as an act of war, is made possible by the space tourism company Wild Worldview. Sometime in 2024, Drew Taggart and Alex Paul of the Chainsmokers are expected to load into a pressurized capsule that will itself be tethered to a stratospheric balloon. After a brief journey straight up, They will perform a concert about 20 miles above the earth, though in an apt metaphor for the chain smokers' proximity to good music, they will stop about a third of the way to real space.
Wow.
That's the most savage thing I've ever read.
That is so
it.
Good. Also, like, of course, Consequence of Sound wrote that.
I
stan.
So obsessed.
That's like one review away from Pitchfork.
Totally. But it's like, of all the bands to choose to perform in space, they're who we're choosing.
It's also like, of course, they're the ones that like said yes to this. I'm sure totally. That they tried to get like Paul McCartney or someone a little, you know, legendary. And they were like,
yeah,
no,
we can't risk him. We can risk these dingleberries.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, if they just like fly up into outer space,
doesn't matter.
It is what it is. See, we did it for science.
Exactly. Wow. I did not know that they were doing that. Also, that space tourism company doesn't sound real.
It doesn't. And also the fact that there is a company that is in the field of space tourism. Weird.
Well, I feel like maybe not that weird because Elon Musk and like all Jeff Bezos have talked about it. But like for them to actually announce it and be like, yes, we're doing that. That's weird.
It's just still so surreal to me. Like I know that obviously they're taking like the Bezos and the Musk are like taking different people up into space. And they're all trying to be like the first to bring the oldest person into space, like the youngest person into space.
Right.
The richest person into space, whatever. But I just assume most of those trips are just like straight up, straight back down. The tourism aspect of it and like let's have entertainment is so bizarre to me.
It's also, I mean, again, I have not ever been to space, but from...
Oh, you haven't?
I know that's weird. Well, let me jump high enough and it's probably the same thing.
Up in a hot air balloon.
Yeah. The Jeff Bezos video that like we all watched, it seems like exactly what you said, an up and down. And also like you're so busy taking in the views. I don't want to hear a concert. Like,
no.
I think I would be like, can you please be quiet and let me enjoy this moment, like, in peace?
The silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've, like, depending. I mean, maybe you're not high enough, so you're like, oh, there's my house.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, if you can see your house, you're not in space.
Yeah. We've got to, like, see how far up 20 miles actually
like,
is.
Like, literally, next time I hop on a Southwest flight, I'm gonna be like, going to space, you guys.
Space tourism. They serve snacks.
It's insane. Totally. But it just made me giggle so hard. And like I really do think that it's fine. I think they chose them because we're willing to lose them if we have to.
For sure. For sure. Poor guys.
They'll be all right.
So we've been talking a lot about touring, and I think those have been like my biggest updates, but I can't quite leave that alone. Speaking of space concerts and Bruce Springsteen, but there's just been a lot, and Lauren, you touched on this with Harry Styles, and I think it's unique, and it's, like, a point to bring up, but there's now, like, all of these different kind of touring models, and not that they're unique, they've been done before, but now I feel like they're being done in extremes, and what I mean by that is you have the Vegas residencies, but now you have Adele coming back for, like, however many months. She finally announced that. You have Harry Styles doing, I think this is the only, he's not touring this album, right?
Right.
It is only in these major markets, which I think is interesting and probably less taxing. And the reason I'm saying that is because they're in one city for months at a time and these shows go up. The same with Vegas. You know, it comes with its own challenges. But I'm saying that all to say Shawn Mendes recently was about to start his tour, canceled 3 dates, and then recently just canceled the entire thing, saying that he needed time and help to get himself in a mentally good spot to tour. And I'm wondering, the more we see this, if that happens after artists have taken a break from the road after 2 years and have realized how crazy that lifestyle really is.
Yeah. Well, I think like we've seen this for a long time, even back like with Britney Spears when she first started having mental health struggles. It's always after a period of just working nonstop, which we as humans are just not meant to do. But I feel like there's something like you were saying with this pause that we've had. It's like when you're exercising, for example, if you just keep going and you keep running the marathon, like you kind of just get into this rhythm and right. Your body doesn't realize how tired it is. But if you were to stop and rest for a couple minutes and then try to start back again, it hits you like how much you've been doing. And I wonder if that's like maybe part of what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like it kind of is. And I feel like also artists are keenly aware now of their mental health and thankfully have been open to talking about it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they've just been open to it. I mean, even in Bieber didn't cancel for mental health reasons. He canceled for another disease kind of reason.
Well, this time, but he has before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to start back up. But I feel like, again, it's a good thing that now artists don't really have qualms of being like, hey, yeah, can't do this.
Yeah, you know? I respect it a lot. And I think it also just has to do with our culture in general, because I think a big part of that, too, is the teams realizing, seeing the Amy Winehouses and seeing a lot of artists who were just pushed and pushed and pushed and where that ends up. At the end of the day, if you want to be working with a successful artist, if they're burnt out,
the
longevity isn't there. So
correct.
You're better off taking care of your artist, as disappointing as I'm sure it is to cancel that many shows for them and the fans.
Right.
It's for the best. But it does make me think about his documentary, because he had to cancel that one show because he was sick.
He was in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And I forgot where he was. But yeah, I mean, and I remember he called his mom.
He was like so crushed about it. So mm-hmm. I can imagine canceling this many shows. It was not an easy decision for him.
Yeah.
But I respect it. I think it's important and it sucks. But also I feel like I wish artists would, sometimes you don't know, but I wish that they would also take stock of, instead of being like, this is just the course, this is what we do, I tour for this many dates and I go to this many cities, to be like, do I feel like I can physically do that? I feel like that's kind of what Adele did when she made the decision to do Vegas.
Totally. Yeah.
Because she doesn't like touring. She knows that it burns her out. She knows that it gives her anxiety. She has stage fright. It's a lot easier for her to be in one spot. So she probably took that mental stock of, can I physically do a world tour? Probably not, but I can commit to this.
Right. And I feel like another good example, and I know I stan, but is Ed Sheeran. Like, he will do blocks of touring where he goes and runs an album for, I don't know, 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. And he'll make a bunch of money and go around the globe 3 or 4 times. But then he takes 3 to 4 years off.
Yeah.
And he'll release music, but like, that's his style. And he even talked about it too, to your point, Lo, on Adele. I mean, he has a family now. So he was like, my touring changed.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be me flying in and out of shows. And instead, my family's going to come with me and we're going to spend weeks, like 1 week in wherever I'm performing. And that just changed the entire way we tour.
Yeah.
Because I want them out there. And it's like a nice way for the family to be together to like explore that city. So I'm like, that's awesome. I don't know how many artists actually do that. They probably just listen to like what is the most cost effective or efficient. Yeah. And those are important, and I think very few artists are in the luxury position that Ed Sheeran's in. However, I think you can try to do things that help you.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's like a term called weekend warriors where artists, yeah, like they'll do shows on the weekends and then fly back home and spend the week at home. They'll do that so that they can spend time with their families. And I'm sure it's definitely more expensive to travel that way, to be going back and forth as opposed to just like going along the same path, but
it depends on the genre, because country music literally tours like weekend warriors, and it's set up that way where people usually leave on a Thursday and they're back on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And they get to spend the week with their family and do all of those things. And again, you know, I think it's that kind of lifestyle and that genre that leads to it, because it's also the country fans being able to be off on a Friday night or Saturday night.
Well, because they need to get turned. They need it to be a weekend night.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, pop stars don't necessarily have to worry about that, you know, which is interesting. But it also reminded me, and I don't know if you saw it, the Garth Brooks documentary. I think we talked about it. But, like, when he had his kids, he was going through a divorce at this time, I think. But he said he had a runway built outside of his home, so he could literally fly to a show, fly back that night, and take the kids to school at 8 a.m.
That is rich, rich.
Yeah. But also, like, the commitment to that, I mean, that's still not, like, getting your beauty sleep or anything like that. Like, yeah. I admire it. It's still work.
Yeah. That's actually making me think about, sorry to go off on a tangent, but I just read Dave Grohl's book, The Storyteller.
Oh, how was it?
It was really good. But he was telling a story about how when one of his girls was having a daddy-daughter dance at school, he was touring with Foo Fighters in Europe somewhere, and it was he had never missed a daddy-daughter dance. He always promised her, no matter what I'm doing, no matter like what tour I'm in the middle of, like I will make it back for this. And they were like, sorry, you have a show this night. And he was like, okay, can we reschedule that show to the next night? I will play in that city the night before, get up early the next morning, fly home, take my daughter to the daddy-daughter dance, literally go home, pack my stuff, get back on a plane, fly back to Europe to play a show the next night. But he was like, I had to do it for like my family and it was important to me, but it was not the right thing for like my body, but like I needed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think that like that commitment, especially to family, is like refreshing and nice to see.
Yeah. Sounds miserable, but I respect it.
Totally.
What a good dad, you know?
Ugh, love Dave Grohl.
He's a little gem. Speaking of country boys, though, can we talk about someone who is taking over the globe right now? Zach Bryan. Not Luke Bryan. Not Zach Brown. Zach Bryan. Everyone is talking about him, and I really didn't know that much about him, and then all of a sudden everyone was obsessed, and I just don't understand like where he came from, how this happened, how everyone learned about him, what's his deal. What are your thoughts on this?
So I like it. I have heard mixed reviews. I think people either love it or hate it. I'm in the middle. I like it. I have heard, I can't believe this dude with an out-of-tune guitar and lyrics that literally don't make sense has just caught on. But hey, there's a market for it. If you ask me if people would really support a song about This Is How We Roll, I would have said you're crazy and I was the idiot. So
is that one of his songs?
No, that's an FGL song. Yeah, yeah,
right.
But you know what I mean? You don't know.
Yeah, so you never know what's going to stick. And I just am so surprised because his style, Zach Bryan's style, is super simple. It's just acoustic. It's like very laid back. His voice is nothing crazy. Like his songs are nothing super catchy necessarily. Like people genuinely just, I guess, feel the emotion from his lyrics and just like his sound. And I don't dislike it at all, but I am having trouble getting it. Do you know what I mean?
To me, it feels like almost like a younger Jason Isbell crowd. Like, ooh, this is their Jason Isbell, but like without the guitar technique and lyric kind of genius that Jason does in his day to day. But like, it's like the younger kids being like, oh, this is it. He gets me.
Yeah.
Like with Zach. But he does. I mean, Lo, to answer your question, he has like an interesting background because he was in the Navy, and then I think his mom passed away and he started writing and he posted an iPhone video on YouTube and it took off.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing. He like kind of blew up on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's literally from a shaky iPhone video of him like by the campfire. And that has been the aesthetic.
There is something about his voice that is very, you're like, this man has experienced pain.
Correct. And that may be it.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not like the voice is it's not like smooth as butter. It's not like Luke Combs is singing to
no.
you.
No.
But that may be part of the attraction to it. Because you're like, oh, wow. Like, it just makes you feel.
Yeah. I tried to listen to the album. First of all, his debut album on his label is 34 songs.
Nuts.
And then like a week or two later released a 9-song EP or something.
Yeah, he just has like songs for days.
Prolific as hell. But I just was listening through and like none of the songs really caught my attention that much, and I wasn't paying that close of attention to the lyrics, so maybe if I paid attention I might be feeling some kind of different way. I just wasn't really moved by what I was hearing, but I do need to give it a little more time. Like the fact that everyone loves it so much has me questioning myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I do like Something in the Orange, which was the single mm-hmm. off of American Heartbreak, and I don't know, I mean, again, I don't really know how to describe it because on paper it kind of doesn't make sense.
It reminds me. Do you remember Corey Smith?
Mm-mm.
You would probably know some of his songs if you heard them, but like Corey Smith was the guy in college who like all the college like fratty bros, he was like the singer songwriter that they all loved because he kind of had like edgy songs, but they were acoustic and simple and whatever. He reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Vibe. And I think the Jason Isbell thing is kind of right on. You hit the nail on the head with that because American Heartbreak was produced by Dave Cobb, who has famously produced all of Isbell's records and Brandi Carlile.
I didn't know Cobb produced it.
I didn't know that till I was like researching it a little either, which does kind of make sense. And that's another thing that makes me question myself. Like, I trust Dave Cobb. I don't think he's going to work on something that I shouldn't like. So I'm missing something. I will give it a try, but it's like, how do I know out of these 34 songs what to listen to? It's a big endeavor.
So here's my recommendation because I just listened to it on a car trip.
That's probably a good car road trip.
Yeah, it was great and I enjoyed it. But have I gone back like when I'm like rage driving in traffic? Nah, I don't want to listen to Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
fair. Fair enough. I'll have to check it out. I will say I think the young people are into him. I know my niece, shout out Emily, like loves him and she's a freshman in college. So
totally. It's that resurgence there.
It's for the young people. So I'll give it a shot. We'll see. He is a young kid and I think maybe not being to the Isbell level yet. Like maybe he has some growing to go, but like, you know, he's still a young artist.
100%.
So
100%.
So in other sort of country Americana news, I don't know if you saw this, but I think it was just this past weekend. Newport Folk Festival was going on and Joni Mitchell got up on stage with Brandi Carlile and performed for the first time in 20 years. And these videos in my circles were literally going viral on Instagram. Like everyone was sharing these videos and I didn't really get it at first. I knew that she hadn't performed in a long time, but I didn't really know the whole situation. And basically 20 years ago, Joni Mitchell had an aneurysm and had to relearn how to walk, talk, sing, all of it. And so she's not really been able to sing how she used to. And so she's obviously not performed, but she's really stayed like in the music circles. And she is super close with Brandi Carlile. At every Brandi Carlile show I've ever been to, she talks about Joni Mitchell and how she's always been a fan, but how she became a fan of Joni's and since has become a friend. And Joni Mitchell has all these Joni jams at her house. And so she'll invite all these artists over. Like she'll meet new young artists and be like, come to my house. And she'll have them perform for her.
That's awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah. Which is like, I read a lot about it in Brandi Carlile's book, which was also really good. But she like will have them like come perform for her. And I'm sure it's like kind of filling that like spot in her soul where she's, you know, like I can't perform, but it's nice to have people at my home and my comfortable space where I can sit and not be uncomfortable and have these people like perform for me, blah, blah, blah. So she's become super good friends with Brandi Carlile. And last year at Newport Folk Festival, Brandi Carlile was like, next year I'm going to get Joni Mitchell up here. And the owners of the festival were like, yeah, I don't, probably not, but sure. Like, we'll see. And Brandi was like, I'm going to try. And so this year she told them like, hey, I think Brandi was the headliner of the festival. And she was like, I'm going to try to get Joni. And no one really believed that it was happening. But Joni like started practicing, like having rehearsals and even like leading up to the day of the festival, they still didn't know if she was going to make it because some days you have better days than others when you've relearned how to walk and talk and everything else. So no one really thought it was going to happen. Even Brandi was like, I don't know, like last minute she could be like, I can't do it or whatever.
Right.
And she showed up on stage and literally she was like sitting down, looked so cute and like had her little microphone in front of her. And she sang, I think a full set, like she did a full set and everyone was weeping. And literally, I can't watch these videos without crying. It's like the most beautiful.
I feel
thing
like
I've
you're about
seen.
To cry right now.
No, it's just so sweet. And seeing someone who was such a huge performer, that was her whole life. I mean, she was a huge artist, still is, but was a huge performer, who hasn't been able to do it in 20 years.
That's nuts. So I didn't know about this until you just now brought it up, but I didn't realize it was her first full live set since 2000. Like, full set.
Yeah.
And I guess she played the full set, I'm asking, yeah, at Newport?
At Newport.
Wow.
It's crazy. And then, so, Celise, who I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's played guitar with Brandi Carlile for a long time and has played with a lot of, like, huge artists, with Jason Isbell and all these, like, huge artists. She was playing guitar. Joni asked her, after Celise came to one of her Joni jams, asked her to play guitar for this set. And Celise said that they were all up there, like, trying to hold it together. And she was like, people might think that, like, she was holding us back. Like, we were trying to keep up with her to, like, make sure that her performance was well. And she was like, she literally sang these songs in such a newly imagined way and, like, made them sound so brand new and fresh. And, like, we were trying to keep up with her.
Wow.
Up there.
That's awesome.
It's just so beautiful and magical. And, like, of course, Brandi Carlile can do anything that she says she's going to do.
Of course.
She's like, yeah, no, I'm getting someone who hasn't performed in 20 years up here. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Also,
and then she does it.
Who is 78 years old?
78, yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. I'm sure I'm Newport, obsessed. Too. I would be kind of pissed if I were the owners, because I would be like, well, now what am I going to do next year?
But they thought that last year, too, I think, because last year, Brandi brought out the High Women and Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
So that was like...
So it's essentially like the Brandi Carlile Festival.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, who can Brandi whip up next?
Yeah, pretty much. The pressure's on Brandi, really.
Right. Right. That was smart marketing. Brandi made this happen. So
they're like, Brandi, you are welcomed back next year.
Correct. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We'll share the video on our Instagram.
On the socials. Well, so kind of speaking, I guess, of a throwback, because I guess Joni Mitchell, I would count that as a throwback artist. I don't watch the show, but I know, don't give me the eye roll. I just don't watch it. I know I'm behind on like years of TV at this point. Stranger Things. And Kate Bush right now is at the top of the chart. She's actually reached higher because of this show and had a longer stint on Billboard because it's thematic throughout the current season 4. Yeah. Is that how I understand it? I mean, I know the backstory of Running Up That Hill, but then I was like, why? I literally looked at Spotify top global songs, and that song, it was number one for weeks.
But here's the thing about it is, like, it wouldn't, even if it was in the show and wasn't that great of a song, like, it just would never have caught on like this. It's because it's such a good song that, like, the young people were like, wait, I'm going to search Spotify to find this. Because in the show, basically the whole premise of, like, why this song was brought up is that the, for lack of a better term, like, the monster of this season, whenever they try to come get you, the only way that your friends can pull you back from, like, if you're in the upside down, the only way that you can be pulled back into, like, the regular world is by listening to, like, good, your favorite song, or, like, a song that, like, reminds you of back home or whatever. So one of the main girls, the song that brings her back is Running Up That Hill. And so anytime that, like, the monster is about to get her, she's, like, put on Running Up That Hill.
Crazy.
And so it's in the show a lot. But it's so funny because now all the TikTok kids are, like, doing the doing, like, the lip syncing videos to Running Up That Hill.
Oh, Lord.
I saw a really funny tweet, though, and it was like, we can't be giving kids crap for learning about Kate Bush from Stranger Things when we learned everything we know about music from the OC soundtrack.
That's also very fair. Like, very, very fair.
Yep. But it's just kind of genius. And Kate Bush's life has just been reinvigorated.
I mean, yeah. Like, all of the photos of her with the plaques now, she's just like, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah. But it's interesting how this happens, because this also recently sort of happened with the Jerry Rafferty song Right Down the Line from Euphoria. You would recognize it if you heard it.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is.
But that song is from the 70s, I think. And it was in an episode of Euphoria and then became a trending song on TikTok.
Random.
So yeah, these shows are just like bringing back the oldies. It's only, you know what's sad? It's only a matter of time before they're like Tearing Up My Heart by NSYNC. And like the youths are like, oh, what an amazing new song.
That's funny that you say that, because I was thinking about that the other day and I was like, no.
We're so close to that time.
So, okay. In keeping with this theme, two things non-music related that blew my mind this week that I heard from younger folks.
Oh, I love it. Let's start a new segment.
Doesn't have a bank here in town because they haven't needed cash in the past 5 years. 5 years. Yeah. That's one.
Okay. Believe that.
Second thing, didn't know what Kinko's was. Had never been to a Kinko's. I was like, you know, when you need to print, and they're like, print what? Because they don't ever have to print anything.
They're like, you print stuff?
Yeah, like in real life.
Well, and also because FedEx swallowed Kinko's. Now it was like Kinko's, then it was FedEx Kinko's, and now it's just FedEx.
Now it's just FedEx. But still, I was like, really? Never been to a Kinko's?
Listen, to be fair, I haven't owned a printer in my own home in several years, like probably 7+ years.
No, I haven't either, but I was like, you guys just graduated from college. What about when you had to give like a presentation or something? And they're like,
print out a resume.
Yeah. They're like, you mean on PowerPoint? And I'm like, oh gosh.
Saving the trees, these youths.
It made me feel old.
That is pretty funny. So in other festival news, Rolling Loud in Miami just happened. And that was a festival that was supposed to be headlined by Kanye. And he, I think, pulled out last minute.
He pulled out because they were also supposed to have Travis Scott. And they wouldn't let Travis Scott perform. So in a stand of like solidarity, Kanye pulled out.
That's
so
right.
The replacement was the one and only Kid Cudi.
So then Kid Cudi has been in the news because he cut his set short because people were, I'm assuming because they were pissed that Kanye wasn't there, and probably Travis, were throwing water bottles at him on stage.
Yeah.
And he literally stopped the show and was yelling at someone near the front. And he was like, if y'all don't stop throwing water bottles at me, I will be walking off the stage. You're about to ruin it for everyone. And like a little kid who you're like, don't do it. And then they just immediately do it. They immediately threw another bottle at him. And he was like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
And just walked off stage.
I mean, I'm sure.
Rolling Loud has been so screwed this year. Like,
I mean, they just can't win. And also, like, I mean, I like Kid Cudi's old stuff. I don't like his new stuff, but I would be kind of disappointed if I were like gonna see Kanye and then they had Kid Cudi.
No, for sure. But I would also be pissed if like Kanye pulls out. We finally are like, okay, we get to settle for Kid Cudi. I spent however many dollars to be at this festival. And then Kid Cudi leaves 3 songs in or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this is a joke.
Yeah. And Kid Cudi, I actually saw him a while back. Like, this is years now, I guess 2013 at Gov Ball. And he was like in a weird headspace and interrupted his set and very much like went on a rant. And I was like, this is not the Kid Cudi we know and love.
Yeah.
So the fact that he did that, and like, I'm not saying any other artist wouldn't do that, but the fact that he did that, I wasn't super surprised.
Yeah, he kind of seems, I don't know that much about him like as a person, really. I feel like he's kind of private, but he seems like a very emotional, tortured artist kind of vibe.
Totally. And it also reminds me, I don't know if you saw, it was like a Justin Timberlake interview, but he was talking about performing as a guest with the Rolling Stones. And I guess like people were being rowdy and throwing stuff in the front stage. And Justin was like, he was a younger kid and whatever. He's with the Rolling Stones, and Keith Richards like went up to him and was like, yeah, watch this. And like went up and just had them throw stuff at him and like still performed through it. And was like, that's how you deal with it.
That's rock star shit right there.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, this is why you're badass.
But I don't know. Like, I mean, I am not a performer like that, but I don't think that I could function if people were throwing things at me, or like even Justin Bieber, who has been off the rails sometimes when the audience is distracting him. I think I would be like that. I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop screaming. Stop throwing things. Stop chanting like, weird stuff. I'm done with that song. Yeah, I'm singing a different song.
But also think about these performers, like, low compared to the Rolling Stones. Like, the Rolling Stones watched that group, the biking group, and I forgot their name, like, kill each other at, like, Woodstock and stuff, like, in front of them.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, like, these people are fighting and people are going to die because they're known for that. Like, Yeah, we perform through stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely the era that they came up in, yeah, that was normal at shows like that, for sure. That's true. We're wimps.
Yeah, for sure. We're like,
we're a generation of wimps.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just crazy. Yeah, I did see the video, and also him. For some reason, I laughed because watching him stomp off was funny.
It was, but I don't blame him. But
no, I don't blame him. It was just funny. So we've talked a lot about touring and a lot about kind of things blowing up in newer music. But something that came to mind, and I referenced it at the beginning, was the Renaissance. And we can't skip over Beyonce, Lo.
Simply cannot.
So I have a crazy story. She released the song Break My Soul. I was driving to a show and listening to it, and I was like, man, this sounds like Robin's Show Me Love. And I was like, huh, like that intro beat, I've heard it like 1,000 times because it's on my running playlist. Anyway, I go to the gas station, and then I like pull over, and I'm looking at the credits, and then I look at the Robin song credits for the songwriters, and it's not the same. So I'm like, I guess she didn't sample it. Well, turns out she actually did sample it. So she had the credits up, then removed them, then got called out for it, and then put the credits back up. But they were essentially, all of the backlash was, this is one of the most recognizable intro beats ever created. Like, it's not original, and don't try to pass it off as original.
Interesting.
Which I thought was interesting. It was a cool dance song.
Yeah.
Overall. But I'm parlaying this because I know her album is on its way.
Yeah, it's we're out. Recording this the day before the album
before it comes out. Yeah.
So we can't speak on what the album is yet, but...
And supposedly it's already been leaked.
Yeah.
And so an article I was reading today said that music consumption has increased, I think, 9.2% this year, overall consumption, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But the actual amount of new music consumption has decreased. And they gave the example of this song. Usually Beyonce songs crush, and this song compared to her other songs have not been crushing. And they went on to like, they go through the top almost like 1% of streamers, like the Drakes and the Ed Sheerans, who have all released these mega albums but have not been performing as well as previous records. Which is interesting. And one thing that they cited is, again, the streaming numbers, but also because this is like a dance song that is not being played on radio all that much.
Yeah. Well, and even still, I feel like part of that could be because people are listening to, maybe this is just in my own brain, but I feel like people are listening, not listening less to top 40, but relying less on top 40 to tell them what to listen to, and like kind of being more comfortable exploring their own genres, because there's so many methods to like find music in whatever circles that you're interested in. So people are listening to less of just like that stuff. Not that they're not listening to it, but they're, you know, maybe listening to, I don't know, more like artists that are new to them that they're discovering on Spotify or whatever.
Totally. And they do reference like, hey, people are still consuming this, but just not at the rates that they had previous albums.
Yeah.
And it's not that people are going back to like old music. They're just going back to music like maybe 5 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's what they're listening to.
Well, and it's hard. You really can't compare how we're consuming music to any time before streaming existed.
Right.
Because
exactly.
You sell a CD, you don't know how many times that person is listening to them. So like really that data is only going back so far. And like just the way we listen to things changes with like the technology and the access to it all.
Yeah. But one interesting thing they brought up, and obviously we'll listen to the record late tonight or tomorrow, but the title of the article was, can Beyonce break the new music curse of essentially people not listening? And they've said she's been so methodical with her album releases that she's kind of broken the mold. It wasn't with Lemonade. What was the record? And I'm sorry, I'm blanking on it. Where she just dropped it like that night.
Was it self-titled? We had a Beyonce deep dive. We should know this, but I just cannot think of it right now. But she really does with every album that she releases.
Yeah. And their point with it essentially was, Beyonce has followed a traditional release for this record. It was, you're right, it was self-titled. But she's followed a traditional release. She started teasing it. She joined TikTok, even though she joined TikTok late. She had listening parties, which is like where the album got leaked. But they were like, she hasn't done anything new. So they're very curious to see what actually happens with the consumption of the record.
Yeah. And I don't know how true this is because whoever knows, but on Dumois, the blind gossip Instagram that everyone now knows about, someone did say, and the girly who runs Dumois posted that it was like a person who would know in this industry, posted that there's going to be a paired visual album like she's done with several of her others, which would make sense for sure. So I'm interested to see that if that's the case. But I was kind of surprised about the sound of Break My Soul. I don't think I was expecting that, really. I was expecting more of like a pop anthem, not necessarily this like disco dance vibe. Yeah. But I'm kind of into it. I liked it at first, didn't love it. And the more I hear it, the more I like it.
I really like it, but I also really like that Robin song, yeah, Show Me Love. So I was like, this is a bop. And like, I saw this funny article too. I didn't read it, but the title was like, Beyonce breaks economists' hearts because she tells everyone, I'm going to quit my job. And they're like, no.
Please don't.
Like, don't quit your job. Yeah. We're in a deficit right now.
Like, you are not Beyonce. Don't quit your job.
Yeah, we actually need workers. So please join the workforce.
Yeah. Also, like, right after that song came out, like, just everything in the world went just even further south. And someone tweeted, they were like, I don't know, girly, they be breaking my soul.
It was like, okay, Beyonce, thanks for that. So.
But I love it. I'm excited to listen to the album.
Me too.
For sure.
Me too.
All right. There's obviously so much more news we could cover, but we got to save it for next time. Now we're going to get into our personal currents.
We're going to talk
about what we've been currently reading, watching, and listening to. So Jay, start us off. What have you been reading?
So I have been reading, don't judge me because I feel like it's the book of the summer, but Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you read it? I'm assuming you have.
I haven't, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I needed a book that was a little just chill, whatever. Saw all the press about it.
I don't know if that's chill book.
Yeah. I'm finding that out now. But I'm 50 pages in and so far so good. I think it's just a lot of setting the scene.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I will give an honorable mention, though, to a book I just finished called The Soul of an Octopus. I'm obsessed with octopuses now.
Interesting. And Did you see my octopus teacher?
Oh, yeah. This inspired me to then listen to an Ezra Klein podcast. Then the author of this book was on there, and I was like, well, I got to read this book. And now I got to go to a museum and essentially have an octopus touch you, because that's the only way. You can't really, like, pet them. You kind of can. And I'm trying to go. They're so smart and so just intelligent, capable, and they have like all of their tentacles, so they can be like eating over here, climbing over here. I'm like, what? What a vibe.
That freaks me out. You shouldn't be able to do that many things at one time.
Yeah, I love it. So
we love a summer obsession, though. I love that you're like all into it right now.
No, I'm super into it. It's like my weird new obsession. So I'm trying to see a Pacific octopus. Those are the big ones.
Oh,
and
that's kind of scary.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is scary, but sometimes they don't come out in the aquarium because this like author went to go visit them every day in Boston. I feel like you're glazing over maybe a little bit.
I'm really not. I'm interested.
Anyway, so they can hide, obviously, when the visitors are there. So I really have to book an excursion probably and go see them. That's the best way to go see them
in
the wild.
That was a nonfiction book?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Highly recommend. And then, yeah, now I'm going into some fiction with Delia Owens. Is that how you say the author's name?
I think so.
Where the Crawdads Sing.
Are you going to watch the movie after?
Probably.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I'm reading. What are you up to, Lo? I feel like you read like 20 books at once.
I've been reading a lot, but I've been so I lost my Kindle.
What happened earlier
this year. I left it on a flight to Toronto.
I remember you saying that. Yes, that is
so
correct.
That really like stalled my reading a lot. And so I was borrowing a lot from the little free libraries around my neighborhood, which really was nice. Like, thank you to my community for providing my reading for the summer. But I did buy a new Kindle on Amazon Prime Day. I'm sorry to say it.
So you're back.
Yeah. So I'm back in action. And I'm currently reading a book that I believe you have also read, called A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara.
Oh, that book tore me up. Yeah. Like, and I'm not really a crier, and I was crying.
And I am, so I'm in trouble.
Yeah, and I think it won a Pulitzer Prize. It's won all of these awards.
And like a Booker, some kind of Booker Prize or something.
I'm not even going to say
it. I just know the sticker is on the book, but I've heard from so many people, like so many people whose opinions I trust are like, that's my favorite book.
Yeah.
And I've heard it's really sad. So I'm scared for that, but also excited for maybe a new favorite book. So far, I absolutely love it.
No, it's fantastic. It's also like, yeah, some parts just get to be super intense, and it's a long read. It's not
it's like 700 pages.
Yeah. It's not a casual read, but it is so good. And it's funny you said that, because two sets of friends recommended it to me, and I was like, okay, now I got to finally read it. And I was like, shook.
When did you read it?
Like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then I gave it to another friend, and she was like, why'd you give me this book? It's so, like, it's great, but it's not. So.
Yeah. So it basically just follows these four boys in New York who were roommates in college, and their friendship over the course of years, and just kind of gets into like their own pasts and how they all intertwine with each other. And it's just really well written. It's very just beautiful writing. And you get so invested. I mean, even like the first chapter, I was like, okay, I'm in love with all these boys. I love them, and I want them to be my like besties.
Yeah, it is. It's an incredible book.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm reading. What are you watching?
So I was watching, and I feel like I always say was because I just finished it, but The Bear on Hulu. I know, everyone's obsessed. It was really good.
Triggering for those of us who have worked in restaurants.
Yeah, a little too real. So that was awesome. And I just started Terminal List with Chris Pratt on Amazon Prime. And it's really good. It's like kind of this murder mystery with this SEAL who has his team killed on an operation. And I just got into it. So we'll see what happens.
Sounds intense.
It's not a light watch. And then obviously I'm doing all my Bravo, but that's like my side gig. Lo, what are you watching?
I'm watching something a little lighter, and that would be Love Island UK.
Oh, no.
It is literally so good, and it's so funny to me. Like, I started watching Love Island UK because my straight male coworker at the time was like, oh, I watch it with my girlfriend. You got to watch it. You would like it. Started watching it. Then now one of my current straight male coworkers was like, hey, do you watch Love Island UK? There's a new season that just started. So it's just funny that they're the ones that like really get me started on this journey, but it is so good. And I'm literally like watching it on these like illegal websites through Reddit because it comes out every single day and it's obviously in the UK and like we can't really watch it here until much later. So I'm like really in it. I'm really watching episode by episode, streaming from sketchy websites where like every time you click play, like three websites pop up.
Yeah. And a virus.
Yeah. So that's like where I'm at, but it's so good. Their accents are amazing. I've learned so much great lingo and just.
You're a super fan.
British people are better than us. And I'm just sorry to say it.
I mean, they are. They're also so hilarious.
They're so funny. They're just so snarky. And like everyone. They're snarky, but still way nicer to each other than any of the people on like our dating shows are.
Correct.
So it's just very enjoyable. But yeah, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Not sorry about it. So instead of popping back to me, why don't you tally us off with what you're listening to?
Oh, I am currently listening to, on repeat, Sabrina Carpenter's new record. It is, I believe it's called Emails I Can't Send. And most of the songs were co-written by Julia Michaels and J.P. Sachs, which is also kind of interesting because I'm sure they wrote a lot of the songs together and now they're broken up.
Wait, I didn't know they broke up.
Yeah, so that's kind of drama, I'm sure.
Akko taco.
But these songs are so good, like just melodically, conceptually, so catchy. And I really think that this album is going to be a moment for Sabrina Carpenter. I really think these songs are going to like do something for her. So I'm excited about that. 10 out of 10 recommend. My favorite songs from the record are mostly all of them, but mostly my favorites are Because I Liked a Boy, Already Over, and How Many Things.
Wow.
They're so good.
Wow.
Wow. What are you currently listening to?
So I feel like this may come as a shocker, but I've really been diving into the new Luke Combs record.
Oh, that's not a shocker.
Oh, really?
I feel like you're a Luke Combs girly.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. But I was not expecting to love this one as much as I did. And I really like it.
Yeah,
I feel like it's got a lot of hidden bops. Like, I did the first listen through and I was like, okay, these are great. And then as I spent more time with it, I was like, oh, I like this one and I kind of like this one.
Yeah.
And it's just different because I didn't feel this way about his other records.
Yeah, this one, I don't know. There is something about this one that's like, mm-hmm. there's just some catchy songs.
Yeah. So that's what I've been digging. I mean, I guess I should name some of them, but I do like Outrunning Your Memory. I like Going, Going, Gone. I like On the Other Line. I think that's so funny. So yeah, I think he just crushed it with this record. Oh, yeah.
On the Other Line. I love that one.
So it's funny. Punny. It is very punny.
Because you think he's talking about it on the phone, but it's really fishing.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And just the phrasing in it, like, of course I love your mama. I'll call you right back. Like, you know what I mean? I could just see every Southern boy being like, like, why don't you get your nails done? Be right there. Love your mom. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy that as well. Also, I don't know why that just made me think of this, but I just saw this TikTok yesterday of Post Malone singing that Brad Paisley song, Gone Fishing. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. He did it for the Matthew McConaughey fundraiser years ago. Yeah.
I'd never seen that. And I was like, this kind of slaps.
So on a weird tangent, I know we're doing currents before we like wrap up, but there's this new feature on Spotify because I have also been listening to the Post Malone record because I'm a Posty fan. And it was like, see how your musical tastes line up. So I did it. And it was like a bunch of random ones that were like the same in the pop category. And then I had like the random country ones that I listened to that do not match up with like Post Malone, which is funny because even though he likes country music, but it was funny to see. It's a weird feature too on Spotify.
Yeah, it just popped up yesterday for me to create one with Lizzo, and I was like, it's just going to be all Lizzo songs. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's marketing.
But yeah, it's smart though, but you can do it with your friends too, and that's what's cool.
Oh, that's
too.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then you can see like which songs, you know, that you guys kind of align on, but then, okay, if we like these same songs together, maybe I'll check out this.
Oh, there's got to be a feature. We got to play with it because I want to do it with you.
Oh, yeah. That would be really good. Let's do that. Well, speaking of albums, for our next episode, we're going to get into some of our favorite albums of the year so far. So that's going to be a fun one. And yeah, just get your Spotify playlists ready because you're going to be adding some things to it.
100%. Maybe we could team up and see if we have overlap with the fans.
Ooh, that would be fun to like share our shared playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll do that.
Might be embarrassing.
It might be. We'll see. Depending on how embarrassing it is, we may share it.
TBD. May share an edited version.
Photoshopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, thank you for sticking with us and for being patient with us during our little pause there. We love you. We'll catch you next time.
We love you, mean it. And yeah, thanks for staying with us. And then happy to be back.
Happy to have you back. Oh,